We're going to talk about helping couples to resolve problems. And let me just mention, I've been working with counseling now for probably 20 years. The results of what you see tonight on your notes are basically just kind of my regurgitation of how I think through helping couples resolve problems. So you can't go to the scriptures and have one passage and says, here is all the techniques to solve a problem. It's a distillation of some wisdom and biblical principles over time. You will notice in your notes that there are no blanks in your notes. I just hope you'll learn the logic of what I'm doing tonight, and that will possibly help you. Also this year, January 8th, is my wife and I's 25th anniversary. We've been married for 25 years. I can tell you right now that 25 years, our 25th year has been our best so far as the way that we love one another, care for one another. We certainly still have problems. But oh my goodness, I do not want to go back to our dating years, nor my first year of marriage. I was a fairly immature 25-year-old when I got married. I didn't know the first thing about relationships or dating. Janet, my wife, was really the one that I first seriously dated. And so I didn't know anything about dating. Our whole dating testimony is a story in and of itself. I will not go into it at this moment in time, but I can remember one time we were sitting over at Purdue Union. We had the Bible in front of us, and we were just kind of staring there quietly. And I said, Janet, I know the Bible has answers for our problems, but I don't know what they are. We were just sitting quiet for a while because we did not know how to solve problems. Our first year of marriage was also one of our toughest. Again, we were two very immature people trying to figure out how to live together. There were days where I would be stewing for days over some kind of a problem, and it wouldn't get solved. So I violated regularly, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. That was me in the marriage. If you know me, one of the things that I tend to struggle with, so you might remember in track one, I tell you what it's not Star Wars, that's what I love. Anything, do you remember what I struggle with? One of the defining characteristics of Brent is I tend to be a worrier. So I tend to worry. My mom is a worrier. My granddad was a worrier. He had a lot to worry about. He grew up in the Dust Bowl days of Oklahoma, the Depression. He was a dirt poor man. He tried his bent at farming, and if you're a farmer, you want to have some strapping young boys to help you on the farm. He had four girls, and he struggled most of his life, and he had a lot to worry about. He had ulcers and all that kind of stuff. You know, my mom did not say, hey, Brent, here's how you worry, but somehow, some way, I learned how to worry. And it was during those times in our marriage, sometimes it still is, when I worry, I tend to get very quiet. So things are going on at work as a pastor. There's problems, there's issues, and I come home and I'm not too affectionate. I come home and I'm not too engaged with my wife. So I am worried about situations and I come home and I'm not engaged. And my wife, in those early years, I'm not so much anymore, she knows how to draw me out. In those early years, my wife struggled for affirmation. And if you hear her, she'll probably talk about this when she talks about unfulfilled longings in her testimony, those of you who will hear her. And so think through the dynamic of that. So let's say my wife has an issue in our first year of marriage, and something's going on in the household. Maybe she needs to talk to me. She does most of our finances because she's an expert at those things. So she handles the budget. But let's say there's an issue or a question that she has about financial issues. I come home and I'm worried in about things at work. I come home, I'm not engaged, and she says, Brent, I want to talk to you about a financial issue. So I'm not engaged. I'm kind of distracted with work. So what do you think my response is like? Not now. And that would be my response typically. And what would typically happen also would, it wouldn't be, it's not now, and I wouldn't give her a win. It would be whenever I felt better and the work situations got better, and then my spirits were lifted, and then I could talk about it. But the problem is I never did give her a when. Okay, so that builds up over time. But at that moment in time, I'm disengaged. I say not now, and I say it very, very sharp. And if she clamors for affirmation, how do you think that goes? I'm sharp and unkind with her, and she clamors for affirmation. How do you think that goes? So she starts getting critical of me, and then I feel all this pressure to solve a problem now. And so then I would stew for days. Okay, so that is the dynamic going on. Now, what was the original problem, by the way? What was the original problem? The original concern that my wife had. A financial issue. A financial issue that was probably easily solved if you had a loving husband that just listened and provided some kind of creative solution and direction, ended up being an issue that lasted for days. That's the dynamic that went on. Now, in those early years also, my wife's insecurities, and again, I'm not saying anything that she has not said publicly, she used to have bad dreams about me. Okay, not because I was an axe murderer, but she had dreams that I was an axe murderer. I am a private pilot. I haven't flown in 20 years, but I am a private pilot. One of the most vivid dreams I heard her say is that she dreamed one night that I took her up in a plane, and she saw some clue in the plane that I was an axe murderer. And the very next thing I was doing in the plane was pushing her out of the plane. And my wife would have these kinds of dreams. How do you think that made me feel? Because I'm not an axe murderer, okay? And in my own, what I would call pride and insecurities, the pride, insecurities is a nice way to say that, would drive me to get offended at some of these things. Now, my wife hasn't had a dream like that in years. But in the first years of our marriage, that was the case. Because I was not a great problem solver and I pushed things off and I was not a planner, my wife's concerns would build up. And all of a sudden, many times, she would just vent them all out. And I would say, well, why didn't you tell me about these things earlier? Well, come on, Brent. You weren't willing to listen to them earlier. So about year 7, I implemented something in our marriage that I think helped us very much so. It was like I would plan certain times of the week, maybe 3 times a week, with one being on Sunday, where I would just sit down with my wife and I would say, honey, are there any issues that we need to talk about? So have I done anything that has caused you problems? Or are there any issues with the children, any financial issues? So she had a means of anticipation that she would always have a means to talk, a time to talk, to bring her concerns to me. And that was a planned time where I could also get my spirit right and actually focus on the problem at hand without me getting offended or I could handle my worry about something before I came and engaged with my wife. And those times became our time where we learned how to creatively solve the challenges of our marriage, where it was parenting, financial issues, what we were going to do to serve together, scheduling issues. And that's where we began to learn about how to not take everything so personally and just solve the problem at hand. Now, we don't do that anymore. Okay, so now, after 25 years, we tend to solve problems. They come up. We plan a time where we talk to each other about it, and we just creatively brainstorm. I can't remember the last time I sulked for 2 days about some offense that I had. So praise the Lord. God is working in our life. To God be the glory. Now, tonight as we talk about this, I'm going to give you a few other examples. These are conglomerations of things that have happened recently to me and my counseling. So let me talk to you about John and Mary. And we're going to talk a lot about John and Mary. They are kind of a composite of very